we will go to overtime.
And I just want to say, when my time comes, I want to be buried face down so that anyone who doesn't like me can kiss my ass.
Hour number two of Overtime is coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios here. Tanner and Tucker with you for one more hour, taking you up until your Memorial Day weekend is upon us. For most of you, it's already begun. I mean, unless like you got to work tomorrow or something like that. That sucks.
That would suck.
But at least you are working.
And, yeah.
And this current time, at least you're working.
Count your blessings.
Absolutely.
Have that drink after work tomorrow.
Big Memorial Day weekend. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to do anything special or not. I don't know if we're going to grill out or not. I don't know if we've decided that yet. But there's going to be, I mean, obviously festivities with your family and friends. You got NASCAR on Sunday. And, hey, the 24th, you got the big showdown. Tiger and Peyton versus Phil and Tom Brady. I'm very confident that Tiger and Peyton will get the dub.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be close.
I think they had the advantage on both sides. You know, Peyton Manning's had more time to golf than Tom Brady has.
Way more. He's better.
And Tiger's obviously better than Phil. No disrespect to Lefty. I have nothing against Phil.
I mean, Tiger just won the Masters.
But it's Tiger Woods, yeah.
I say just. It's been a year. But still.
Yeah, it's Tiger Woods.
Well, that's already been a year since Tiger won the Masters.
It's been a year.
Wow.
And
that was a quick one.
The one good thing about the Masters not being held this year until November, that means it's more time that Tiger's still the reigning champion.
Yeah.
So that just works out for him.
Man, that was cool. That was a cool moment.
That does benefit him. We're going to be joined by Lucas Panzeca, 104.5 The Zone here shortly. While we await him, a couple quick notes to get to. Sad news out of the NBA this morning. Legendary coach Jerry Sloan passed away at the age of 78, the longtime coach of the Jazz. He's one of the winningest coaches in the history of the NBA, passed away from complications from Parkinson's disease. And Lewy body dementia, which he had revealed diagnosis for back in April of 2016. Probably, unless I'm missing someone, I mean, he's got a strong argument to be the best coach in NBA history who did not win a championship. Unfortunately, just like the players he coached for the Jazz, Karl Malone, John Stockton. Unfortunately, when you were kind of at your peak, when you had your best teams, when you had your best squad, you just ran into someone who's just really great. So Jerry Sloan was not able to capture an NBA championship with the Jazz. He was the coach of the Bulls in the late 70s, early 80s, interestingly enough.
Yeah, he played for the Bulls.
He did as well.
He's the only two players in Chicago history to play more minutes than him is Michael and Scottie.
Wow.
I saw that on the ESPN scroll at the bottom today, so sometimes you learn some.
Had a good NBA career. Averaged 14 points per game and 7.5 rebounds.
That's really good.
Not bad for Jerry.
Yeah
he coached total wins. He finished with, when he retired, it was 1,221 wins to 803 losses. Career win percentage of 60.3%. Good stuff.
That's real good.
Can you think of other really great all-time coaches off the top of your head in any sport that just never won a championship? Andy Reid was considered the best NFL coach to never won a title until last year.
Yeah, if you'd asked me this a year ago, then I would have said Andy. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a football coach because I'm not real wise on basketball coaches.
Well, I know in the NBA, another one is George Karl, who coached everywhere, had some of his best years with the Bucks. The Seattle SuperSonics, who he took to the finals. Great success in Denver as well. So that's another one I thought of in the NBA. I'm sure there's countless older NFL coaches who just never won that championship.
Yeah, I've looked up the best coaches to never win a Super Bowl. It doesn't seem like there's that many, like, major, massive names that which I've not fully pulled it up yet. But Andy Reid was at the top, so this is an old one.
Well, either way, man, Jerry Sloan, one of the all-time greats. Sad that it had to be something so terrible like Parkinson's. And
yeah.
What is body dementia?
I do not know. It sounds awful. It sounds absolutely terrible.
78, man. I know that's like old, but I mean, you probably still have more years of just living and just enjoying life left for him. So
yeah,
that sucks, man. Especially since Last Dance just finished and everything. You got to see some of those Jazz teams he coached and how good they were, but it's, unfortunately, you just ran to the Bulls. Just unfortunate Tommy right there.
Yeah.
Well, with that being said, let's go over, bring in our guest. Haven't talked to him in a couple weeks, but he's joining us here on this Friday, live from the Mid-State. We got Lucas Panzeca on the line of 104.5 The Zone, VolsWire.com, numerous other outlets as well, and of course, as you all know, an alum of Overtime and Fox Sports Knoxville. Lucas, my man, how are you on this Memorial Day weekend?
Tanner, happy Memorial Day weekend, man. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Hey, man, we're just hanging in there. It's this is actually like our first full week we've completed since coming back from hiatus. We didn't have a Friday show last week, so week two down, nothing's caught on fire yet, man, so we're hanging in there.
That must feel good. I mean, Knoxville should be set to open up completely here in a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, we've already had, like, what, for 3 weeks now? I mean, you've been able to go back into restaurants. I got my hair cut 2 weeks ago. So doing mostly normal things. But I think soon you might get back to more capacity. I know out there in Nashville, man, I think the plan is to have, what, live entertainment back in some bars as well soon?
Yeah, slowly but surely everything is kind of getting back to normal. I actually went out to eat a couple of days ago, which felt like such a novel thing. I don't even know the last time that happened. So slowly but surely things are kind of trickling back to that way.
Well, that's good to hear, man. Good to hear that you're hanging in there. And first thing I'm going to ask you about, man, and I'm going to ask you about a few of these, but let's start first things first with today's news on the recruiting trail here. You had the write-up about on VolsWire I'm looking at right now. Tennessee target and Auburn target as well. Trandy Bell, the 6'7" tight end out of Albertville, Alabama. He has committed to the Vols today, and as you put it right here in this piece, is Tennessee's sixth commitment in this class from Alabama. It's the 23rd overall as we set here in late May. And, man, tell us a little bit about Trinity Bell here, because I know immediately he's a tight end, of course, but a lot of the immediate analysis was that, hey, this could be someone who really could contribute on the defensive line as well.
Yeah, no doubt. He's listed as a tight end on 24/7 Sports, at least, and he played that plenty for Albertville High School. But he's also rated a top 40 athlete in his class and the number 20 overall player in Alabama for 2021. So, I mean, you and I both know that Jeremy Pruitt's no stranger to bringing kids in and then seeing where they fit. It's rare that they'll make positional promises to players before they get on campus, so there's no doubt it is very possible Bell could end up on defense. But, man, second tight end to commit to this 2021 class. And anytime Tennessee is committing Joe Osovet and Brian Niedermeyer as the two lead recruiters on one player, it's probably a guy that they really want to get, because you're talking about a former 24/7 National Recruiter of the Year and Joe Osovet, who is just surging up the charts of the 24/7 recruiter rankings, doing a ton of work, especially in the Northeast where he's from. But anytime that tandem gets assigned to one guy, that is somebody that this team really wants, and they end up getting him over Auburn.
Yeah, and sticking with just the tight end specifically here, the new tight ends coach, Joe Osovit, specifically. Now, of course, the help always comes from Moose, Brian Niedermeyer as well, but can you just talk a little bit about how much of I guess for lack of a better term, a blessing that Coach Osovet has been, especially since he was promoted from the support staff as an analyst to an on-the-field role as a tight ends coach.
Well, he's earning that promotion, at least on the recruiting trail. I mean, guys like Aaron Willis, Catron Evans, any work above the Mason-Dixon line, you can probably bet is going to go to Joe Osovet when it comes to recruiting for Tennessee. So those two guys I just mentioned, plus Teon Evans, the running back from Hutchinson, the number one overall JUCO running back. I mean, there's just a list of guys that might end up being the most important players, some of the most important players in this recruiting class for Tennessee that Joe Osovet is the primary recruiter for. So we'll see what happens on the field. You know, Tennessee hasn't gotten a ton of production from its tight ends over the last couple of years. Dominic Wood Anderson, you know, showed to be a good blocker, but never really racked up numbers catching the football. But we'll see what happens here this year and the following season. But in terms of the recruiting trail, there is no doubt Joe Osovet is earning his paycheck.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt for sure. And going back to last night, because like I'm trying to just again as you know, especially as everyone knows, it's been since the end of April, it's just been one after the other for people committing to Tennessee right here, and you almost lose track of some of like these really can't miss prospects as well when like they all come in as quickly as they do. I think one of these can't miss prospects that we discussed on our show yesterday is Kamen Marley. Again, kind of like Trinity Bell, some of the one of these players that's like an Iron Man, can play both sides of the ball. And when you talk about the size and the versatility in Trinity Bell, you go over talking about Kamen Marley. This is just, man, that again, can't miss prospect. And tell us a little bit about Kamen Marley here. Where do you see him playing when he gets to Tennessee, offense or defense? Where do you think he fits in?
Well, the more I look at him, the more I think he's one of my favorite commits of this class so far. I mean, we talk about versatility with Trinity Bell, but with Kamen Marley, you're talking about playing defensive back, wide receiver, running back, punting the football. I mean, he's a guy that his high school of Eastern Randolph will just put back there to punt the football, and if he sees something he likes, he'll just take off with it on a fake punt that might just be impromptu because he's that good of an athlete. So I have a hard time seeing him as a wide receiver at Tennessee because when you look at his tape, 90% of his plays he makes a wide receiver are go routes that his size, speed, and athleticism is just better than the guy that's on him. He has great ball control, body control at least, and great ball skills that I think would make him a great defensive back. So, man, I really like Kamen Marley. I have no doubt. I mean, if I could put money on him playing defensive back when he gets to Knoxville, I would, even though Jay Graham, an offensive coach, is his lead recruiter. But I think he's just a guy that this staff is so excited about that they could plug him in at almost any spot on either side of the ball, and he'll be successful.
Would you say that Marley, looking at who you have committed right now, I mean, would you maybe put him top five, maybe top three, like the most important players Tennessee could sign just because of his ability to be pretty much put at so many positions on the field?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he rates as maybe the fifth or fourth, you know, highest rated Tennessee commit at the time, or as of now, after 24/7 kind of shifted their recruiting ratings. But yeah, no doubt I would, just because of the versatility, man. When you look at Tennessee's, you know, top four right now, and Terrence Lewis, Dylan Brooks, as I'm looking at it now, Cody Brown, the running back, and Aaron Willis, the linebacker from Baltimore. You got Kamen Marley right behind there, and I think he can come in and make a quick impact. I mean, this guy's tape jumps off the screen, and you can say that for a lot of these guys. So, you know, I'm excited about him. I think his player profile comparison, as I look at it, is Jalen Samuels of the Pittsburgh Steelers, a running back, but here's a guy who could come in and play defensive back for Tennessee. So it's one of those to keep an eye on when they finally get to campus to see where he ends up.
And the last individual one I want to discuss here, let's go back to talking about the tight end position. And Miles Campbell specifically here, man, it was really good when I saw that he committed and made it official. It was like one of Tennessee's first true tight end commitments in a couple of years. And Just tell us what we get at Miles Campbell. And even though that I know a lot of people, when they do look at the recruiting services, they want to become star chasers, and they see that, you know, he's only a three-star. He might be, you know, lacking in, like, his actual position for some people. But, man, that offer list is very important, especially the offers he was getting pretty recently as well. Tell us what type of prospect you get Miles Campbell.
Well, it's another player that Joe Osovet is the lead recruiter on, so that's his future position coach. I don't think there's any doubt in what position he's going to play when he gets to UT, but, you know, and his high school team just finds ways to put the ball in his hands, but this guy can block. I mean, good size, 6'3", over 230 pounds, great field of offers with teams like Auburn, Florida, Michigan, plenty of other Power 5 schools wanted this guy. And, look, people get caught up in the star ratings for sure, but it's one thing for people to sit there and criticize star ratings and another to praise the developmental skills that this coaching staff has. So if you're going to do that, then be prepared to get some players that this staff feels are diamonds in the rough, so to speak, although it feels weird to call a guy who had offers from Auburn and Florida a diamond in the rough. His ratings might go up, but I don't think this staff really cares about much of that. It's another example of going into Georgia, securing a top 20 player at his position in his class, and ensuring that Tennessee has depth at tight end for the coming years. You've got plenty of unproven depth there this coming season, but in terms of pass-catching tight ends, there's a lot of question marks right now for Tennessee. And even when that question mark we thought was answered last year, they didn't get a ton of production from it. So whether it's because this offense isn't quite tailored to the tight end or they just haven't found the best fit, we'll see in the coming years with some of these players that they're signing. But he's a great addition, first tight end of this class, and yeah, I expect him to make an impact pretty quick.
We are talking with Lucas Panseca, 104.5, the Zone and FallsWire.com. Last recruiting thing I want to ask you, Lucas, before I get your opinion on some other topics here. Looking at the class as a whole, and I actually I sold Tennessee's commitment number short by one. You're actually at 24 commitments right now, May 22nd. You're getting to the point in the cycle with these numbers that you have to where it's almost like a good problem to have for Tennessee, because they're not only going to have to start maybe turning some potential commits away for, you know, maybe a lot more talented prospects or prospects that they just have more faith in general, but also, I mean, it's going to come to the point where some of these current commits right now, you're, so to say, I hate to sound harsh because I know they're all talented players, but you might have to cut the fat sometime soon here. Who do you see maybe not sticking around that much longer on Tennessee's class? And part two of that question as well, who do you think might be the next prospect to look out for to commit?
Well, in terms of who may not stick around, I don't know if I can speak to that because it really would just be speculation looking at ratings and whatnot. So I don't know what kind of specific relationships these guys have with the staff. There may be somebody that this staff feels they need to keep in this class regardless of what happens down the road, and some that might feel expendable. So, you know, for the sake of the kids, I'm not going to go out there and just guess which ones may or may not be expendable. But sure, I will say here in coming weeks, look out for Junior Colson, man, and another in-state outside linebacker, Prince Collie. Collie and Colson both. I don't know when Collie's commitment date is, but Colson is May 24th. So here in 2 days, four-star guy, Ravenwood High School, a great program out here in the Mid-State. They lost in the state championship to Maryville just this past December, but I've gotten to see him play a few times. Great speed, used to be a wide receiver, a lateral tackler for Ravenwood, can get to the football, swarm to the football, and Tennessee is all in for him. A lot of people think he might be a Michigan lean, but here we'll find out in a couple of days. And then Prince Collie, the other one that I mentioned, another top 20 outside linebacker, Auburn, Georgia, Oklahoma, all gunning hard after him. Derek Ansley is assigned to Prince Collie, and Derek Ansley is the MVP so far of this recruiting run Tennessee has been on. He's the number one recruiter in the SEC, and he might end up as a top five recruiter or top three when this is all said and done, at least according to the 24/7 rankings. So those two guys, both in-state, both outside linebackers, one to keep an eye out. But in terms of the near future, Junior Colson out of Ravenwood announcing in 2 days.
Great info on recruiting as always, Lucas. And last few questions here, switching away from recruiting. I want your take on the big announcement today from the SEC that after the final vote from university chancellors and presidents, athletes starting June 8th will be allowed to use on-campus facilities for voluntary workouts. Football first, but then it's also going to be open to men's and women's basketball players. The NCAA Division I Council, they okayed the date of June 1st for, you know, pretty much all D1 athletes to return to campus to use the facilities for voluntary workouts. Of course, strict measures going to be imposed. Safety is going to be first, as we all know. Just initial reaction to it coming back, these facilities coming back to use on June 8th. And two, does this make you more optimistic that, yes, we will have college football season starting on time Labor Day weekend?
Yeah, it's a great first step for sure. And I'm starting to lean towards not quite being worried that there will be games, but just in terms of what they're going to do with fans in the stadium. I feel like we've kind of moved towards graduating past worrying about whether or not these games will happen, but we'll see how this goes. I mean, the NFL is still trying to figure out a time for teams to all come back together because of different legislation in different states. I mean, it's a slow process trying to get this all figured out. I'm glad that college football has some sort of step back towards normalcy, but that's going to be a long road, man. So we'll see how it turns out. I'm positive for what's going to happen this fall in terms of the actual football being played, but fans in the stadiums is a whole other discussion.
Yeah, for sure. And I tell you what, while we speculate about the fall and what real football will look like, man, have you caught Coach Doug's fever? Are you all in on Coach Doug's, a.k.a. Barstool Big Cat, and his just embracement of Tennessee, the Tennessee fan base? Man, this thing, I know you saw it, how this thing has gotten so crazy and the university is all in, that after Coach Doug's moved to 3-0 on this season after surviving UConn, there is now officially licensed by the University of Tennessee Coach Doug's shirts out. What do you think of Coach Doug's, man? How in are you on this?
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee is going all in on this thing. The university just putting all their chips in the table. And why not? You know, I said when Big Cat started doing this whole thing, I remember saying, like, you know, kind of keeping up with it on social media and whatnot, but thinking I'm not ever going to sit there and actually watch a guy play NCAA football. But there I was yesterday watching Big Cat run up the score on Baylor while trying to fight off a potential comeback in the second game of the season. So I didn't sit there and watch the whole thing. But the point is, like, we're in quarantine, man. We have absolutely nothing to enjoy right now. Let's just have some fun, not take ourselves so seriously that we're outraged because of a video game character. At worst, it's great PR for the university. I don't see any negative. In a time where recruits are sitting there begging for fans, some making their decisions based on how many followers they get from a respective fan base, is it such a bad thing that Tennessee is dominating possibly the biggest trend right now in college football, at least on social media, with Coach Duggerton? So I think it's a great thing for the university, and I guess I'm a little surprised to see them go as all-in as they have gone with this thing. I mean, for Barstool to be allowed to sell officially licensed Tennessee gear is not something I ever thought would happen.
No, it's a strange time we live in for sure, but I'm all in on it, man. I knew that I was so in on it when I tuned into the fourth quarter of today, and I was actually kind of getting nervous. Not as nervous as I would for a real Tennessee game, but I was kind of anticipating it. It's fun. We discussed this before you came on here on the air, and we all said, well, if you don't like it, if you don't get it, that's fine. No one's forcing you to, but man, don't be hating on popular things just to be different. That makes you look so lame.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody does not want to sit there and watch a grown man play a video game, I completely understand that. That makes total sense, but you just can't deny that this isn't turning into a positive thing for the program. And NCAA 14 has also been a huge part of my quarantine before this whole Duggerton thing even started. So I appreciate that, and I also appreciate how he's not really that good at it, and he does a lot of the stuff that we do. You know, if he doesn't get a big third down conversion, he makes kind of a rash decision to go for it on fourth and long when he probably shouldn't. Things like that that everybody can relate to are really what I'm enjoying about it. So it's not a bad thing. It only can generate positive social media presence for the program, and clearly the university recognizes that. So anything otherwise, to me, feels very get off my lawn.
Old man yells at cloud, that's for sure. Lucas, the last thing I want to ask you about, just because I'm curious and I want to pick your brain about this, just because, as you've already said, in the middle of this quarantine, or, you know, for a lot of the countries starting to come out of the quarantine, we are still sports starved. You are a man of culture. You are a man of the European football. Tell me how excited you are personally that the German Bundesliga is back. And for anyone listening who might be curious, what's a team that you think they should look at maybe supporting? Maybe the closest Bundesliga club, you know, the club that more closely resembles Tennessee football.
Oh, man. Okay.
I'll probably put you on the spot there. But
well, in terms of who people around here would pay attention to, I would tend to just look at Borussia Dortmund simply because of what they did to bring up Christian Pulisic, who obviously is the best American player right now and might turn out to be the best American player to ever do it at the highest level. I mean, he came up through their system. So if you really have an appreciation for U.S. soccer and what the U.S. men's national team is capable of, you might have to go all in for Borussia Dortmund. But, man, as far as comparison to Tennessee, I can't say that I am well-versed enough in German soccer history to know who to compare it to. But I do know that the race for the top right now in the Bundesliga is fantastic. I mean, Bayern and Dortmund, if anybody doesn't really know, is one of the best rivalries in the world when it comes to pro soccer. I mean, it is intense. They absolutely hate each other, and it is historic. And they're 4 points apart right now at the top of the table with Bayern in front. So just enjoy it, man. Just sit there and enjoy the sports that we do get, because it's good soccer and some of the best players in the world, and I'm just thankful that Bundesliga has given us something.
We can always count Lucas Panzeka to be our man of culture in these trying times. Lucas, as always, man, we appreciate you hopping on there. We'll be sure to look out for your stuff on Falls Wire, and whenever you get back to going full speed over at 104.5 The Zone, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for having me, guys. Talk to y'all soon.
Hey, have a good Memorial Day weekend, man. That is Lucas Panzeka. You can follow him on Twitter, at Lucas Panzeka, P-A-N-Z-I-C-A. I might put him on the spot with the German soccer stuff, but he knows more about than I do. That's for sure.
Yeah, he definitely seems to know more than we do.
Your mic's doing the thing again.
You can
that.
Hear it. See, I don't
now,
know,
now
man.
You're good. That's weird. It did the same thing to me, like I told you.
It's strange,
you
right?
You sound fine now.
I sound fine now?
Yeah. I don't know.
See, I thought it was my headphones.
No, there it is.
Did it again.
Quit. Hey, Tucker, quit talking. That might just be...
No? Okay, so we're good.
We'll workshop it during the break.
It'll be fine.
Or will it? Great. Let's go ahead and hit this first break here. 865-546-8200 is our number if you would like to hop on. 546-8200 as we cruise along in hour number two of Overtime. Be back with more after this. Alrighty, we're back in for more Overtime here, and what an auction. What an auction that was completed today. The famous, well, I don't know how famous it is, but if you're a Knoxvillian, if you had ever visited East Town Mall, aka Knoxville Center Mall, in the past, RIP, you know what I'm talking about when I talk about the giant power tee.
Yes.
That just was suspended. Tucker, don't talk.
I can't talk.
Okay. Here, just you fool with that how you want to, and I'll tell you about the giant power tee. So, they're getting everything out of the mall, of course. I don't know what the grand plan is going to be with that facility. I don't know exactly what they plan to do with the future of it. All I do know is they're moving the stuff out of there. And if you know about Knoxville Center Mall, there's a lot of stuff that just randomly hung from the ceiling, right? There's a whole lot of stuff that is just random. I remember off the top of my head, there was like the fish. There was like fish somewhere, because there was like that part of the mall that was about river conservation, I think. There was a stuff that hung above the food court. And of course, over a map of the University of Tennessee, there was the big orange power T. Well, they moved down the mall, and there was an auction. There was an auction put in place for the rights to the giant T. After 242 bids on the East Town Mall giant T, the bidding is closed. The auction is closed. The winner is walking away with the giant T with the final bid, the closing winning bid of $11,100.
That's crazy.
Oh, better.
It is better. Yeah, I think I fixed it. That is wild, though.
$11,000!
That's a crazy... what do you do with the giant... Like, there's a big...
Where do you put that thing? Do you just have a giant facility that you have? Is there a barn you can put that in? I don't know how you go about storing that giant tea.
How do you get it out? How do you get it out of the mall? I mean,
I'm sure there's a way.
Probably had to get it taken apart, right? I mean, because no door.
Can you take that thing apart?
I don't know, man. It seems like more of a hassle to deal with than it's worth.
You're probably right.
I mean,
but someone who had over $11,000 to piss away
on a big T.
That's bleep you money is what that is.
Did the definition of it.
You don't think about what you're actually going to do with it, right? You're saying, hey, I have $11,000 to buy this relic of a condemned mall. That, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of people passed under and recognized. I own that thing now. Cool. It's like I had a childhood friend, his parents won an auction to buy like a little row of like four seats that were in the old Thompson Bowling Arena. Well, not the old Thompson Bowling Arena. It's before they renovated it.
Yeah.
In 2008, they just had those seats. I don't know how much they paid for it at auction, but they just have four seats.
That makes more sense than buying the giant TV.
You can use
it.
I don't know how you use the TV. Well, I tell you how you could use it. I mean, there's a way you could put that thing upright at some property.
Yeah.
For some type of attraction, I guess. I don't know.
Pay $5 a ticket. Come look at the big T from the mall.
I wouldn't pay $5 to do that. Something I walked under all the time as a kid.
I've seen it a few times.
I've seen it many times.
Yeah.
I don't know what you'd actually do with it to use it. But again, I don't have $11,000 to spend on the giant T from Easttown.
I mean, if they're spending that, that's the same as me buying, you know, I see one of those little put two quarters in and turn a crank and get a like a bouncy ball.
Right.
That's what they've done. But it was $11,000 and not a bouncy ball. It was.
That's what it was.
They stuck their version of two quarters in and got a giant T.
Well, more power to you. Capitalism,
how
America.
How do you transport it? What do you put it on you rent a truck? Like, there's so much expense.
Maybe it goes through the same way that how they get the cars into the mall. It goes through that same door.
That's bigger than a car, is it not?
It is, but I mean, I'm not an expert in this stuff.
There's too much going on.
All I know is there's a way to get it out of there, and they're going to do it, and someone spent five figures on that. So
people are trying to silence me is what this...
Happy for them, I guess. Well, while you figure out if you're trying to be silenced or not, let's move on to this story here. So Aaron Judge, the New York Yankees star, his girlfriend back in February ran into a bit of legal trouble. She was arrested for DUI. And now TMZ Sports obtained video of the arrest from body cam footage of the arrested officers. This was back from February the 26th. February 26th, such a normal time. When a coronavirus lockdown was just a twinkle in our eye. That was before John Fulkerson put 27 up in Rupp Arena. Simple times.
Yeah.
Simple times. She was arrested back in February. The video has been released. And while being arrested, she was very adamant towards the arresting officers, asking them, and I quote, this is not paraphrased, "Do you know who my boyfriend is?"
That won't work.
The name, her name is Samantha Braxiak. Braxiak? Name dropping Aaron Judge several times to the officers, So she was pulled over around midnight, February 25th, in Scottsdale, Arizona. Cops say they spotted her driving without her headlights on. And after she bombed all the tests, blew a .12.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's really high.
Arrested her, of course. And then after the cuffs were on, she started saying, "These are all quotes. I can't believe she actually said this. Do you understand what you're doing right now? I just need to get home. Do you know who my boyfriend is?" Officers responded, "We don't." She said, "This is going to be so bad for me. I'm just saying that right now." Well, yeah.
Yeah, it will.
Usually a DUI arrest isn't a good thing, Samantha.
You drove drunk.
It's not a good thing, usually.
That's the big no-no.
So, officers didn't ask a follow-up question. They didn't ask, "Yeah, who's your boyfriend?" They don't care. Absolutely do not care. Well, the video is still recording. She's back in the squad car, and he's bringing up the boyfriend.
She's still screaming about it.
She said, quote, "My boyfriend is not in a spot where I should be, like, having this happen. He's like a public figure, so, like, me being arrested for, like..." All the likes are quotes, by the way.
Love that.
Me being arrested for, like, having... like having two glasses of wine is not okay. Yeah, two glasses of wine and you blew a .12.
That is not two glasses. That's two bottles.
Just had a couple beers. Just had a couple beers, man.
Her blood was 12% alcohol.
Yeah.
That's insane. Shoo, shoo.
She continued, "My boyfriend is in the spotlight of New York media in general, and now here I am handcuffed here in Arizona. Like, that is not good." Very, very astute observation, Samantha.
Aaron Judge has a thing for the brainiacs.
Officers didn't cave in or anything. They were just like, "Yeah, we don't care. Broke the law, you're getting arrested."
I mean, what was she expecting? They'd be like, "All right, here's your keys, get on out of here."
I don't think that's ever worked for anyone. Maybe that works in, maybe if you're related to El Chapo and you get arrested in Mexico,
yeah.
Maybe that's different.
Yeah.
You're not getting off because your boyfriend is Aaron Judge.
Not for something like a DUI.
Especially when Aaron Judge hasn't even won a World Series yet.
Yeah. And, now, you're in Arizona.
Maybe if you were in Cincinnati back in the 70s and you were Pete Rose's girlfriend, maybe that's different.
Yeah. Call up Pete. Get him down here and we might be able to figure something out.
I mean, when you're dating Charlie Hustle back in the day, it's a little different.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
You're halfway across the country. They do not care about Aaron Judge.
It's like, "Honey, you're in Arizona and your boyfriend is a giant dude who looks like Shrek."
Yeah.
I like Aaron Judge. I shouldn't be insulting him like that. But yeah, she's dumb.
How dumb do you have to be? Number one, nobody would have known it was Aaron. Like he's not in a good place right now for me to be doing this. Well, stop saying his name. Nobody knows who you are.
She blew a .12. Do you think she even realized that?
All logical thinking were out of the window after that. After that second glass of wine, quotation marks.
Only two glasses of wine she had. Sure.
That's the most potent wine in the world, or the biggest glasses, or a combination of both.
I had good news for you, by the way. I just received. No Hayden.
No Hayden?
Yeah. You get off lucky, don't you?
I get a quiz today.
Yeah, birthday quiz, I guess. Well, since I'm only going to quiz you, should I go? I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to this other story.
Yeah, let's do it.
I don't
have many words to say, though.
I don't either.
Extremely weird.
I'm going to be honest. I don't even know the details yet. All I know that it's a headline. Hold on. Because I've lost the
link. We need the ages to see how weird this is.
Yeah, ages. Oh God, here it is. I go to the Daily Mail over in the UK. Yes, I'm using an ad blocker. Go away. Oh my God, hold on. Hate this so much. "We know you're using ad blocker. Would you like to disable blah 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 blah?"
No.
But no, you're not even in my country, Daily Mail. I don't care. Okay. Got ad block off. Here it is. The headline. Quote, "The best way to start our day." That's what this mother said. "Mother and her 19-year-old daughter reveal they still shower together daily as they star in reality series about over-the-top mom-daughter relationships. Mary, 55, and Brittany, 19. Oh, wait a minute. I thought I was getting off easy talking about like the UK and stuff. This is a UK website. They are from America. What state?
Tennessee. Florida.
Yeah, you've heard of Florida man. Here's Florida women. Jensen Beach, Florida is where they're from.
Well, I'll never be going there.
They are one of the six mother-daughter duos featured on the second season of TLC's reality series. It's Smothered, but like the S is lowercase and the M is capitalized.
Mothered, but smothered. Smothered by motherhood.
I don't want to read too much into this. I feel uneasy, but I'm going to give you the short details. The mom says she has been showering with her daughter since she was 5 years old, and it's the best way to start their day.
Ugh.
In a preview clip from the new season, Mary can be... Oh, no, they filmed it. Oh, no. Mary can be seen washing Brittany's hair and lathering her back up with... I'm not getting the details. This is what the daughter says. She says her mother washing her makes her, quote, feel comforted. And Mary insists she doesn't, quote, see anything wrong about it. Season 2 of the series premieres on Sunday. I will not be watching this. That is, no.
She's in her 50s.
55 and 19. Oh, here's a picture of them. I'm going to be honest with you. So I told you they're 55 and 19. I'm looking at this picture. I don't know which one's the mom and which one's the daughter. One of them, again, I don't know which one this is. One of them has like the deepest Oompa Loompa spray tan I've ever seen in my entire life. I assume that's the mother. She does look older. But her daughter also doesn't look like she's 19. If that is her daughter. Yeah, the orange one is the mom. People are weird. TLC, if you've noticed any of their shows, they always had the really weird people.
Oh, the strangest human beings
hoarders,
in the world.
Hoarders, that's very, that's one that's disturbing. You could see some very disturbing clips of that show, Hoarders. Thinking off the top of my head about some people that held Hoarders, there was a woman who basically, well, collected her waste in jars and just kept them. There's another one when they were finally cleaning out their house on an episode of Hoarders where they moved some furniture. Oh, and there was a carcass of their dead cat that's been there for 2 years.
Yeah, I've seen some
TLC,
episodes.
Weird shows.
I mean, you've got Hoarders, you've got...
oh, you know what else they have.
My Strange Addiction, all those just terrible shows.
Wasn't there an episode of My Strange Addiction of someone who just ate glass? Do you eat glass?
I've seen one where they ate their cat's fur.
Do you want to see me like projectile like on it everywhere?
Somebody ate their mattress. I swear to God.
Now that's funny.
Like the fuzz foam.
That's just funny.
They were just munching on it throughout the day.
Yeah, I'm having dinner tonight. Oh, we're having some seasoned mattress.
They ended up eating their entire mattress and didn't tell anybody and then would sneak into their parents' room and then start nibbling off their mattress throughout the day.
How does this just not kill people?
I don't know.
How do you consume something like that for so long that it becomes a problem that's the subject of a reality show and you're not dead?
How do you have like the gumption to tell people?
I don't know. We live in a strange planet, as we all know. Let's hit this break. We're going to wrap up this week on Overtime, take you into Memorial Day weekend. We'll play the birthday game, get your phone calls as well. You're listening to Overtime here on Fan Run Radio.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Alrighty, final segment of the week, final segment before Memorial Day. Let's play a quick round of the birthday game before we get to the phone lines here. Tucker, are you ready, sir?
Ready to go.
Alrighty, we got six birthdays in a This Day in History.
Love it.
Starting off with today, so I'd use today and tomorrow, of course.
Yep.
First birthday today, he is 39 years old. He's an American wrestler, currently wrestling in the WWE.
AJ Styles.
No, kind of like the same type of style. He's kind of like a smaller dude, more technical. He is known for the Yes Movement. Yes.
Daniel Bryan.
Yes, Daniel Bryan.
I don't watch WWE. Yes. I'm not sure how I pulled that one out.
Yes. It's the Yes Movement.
I did.
That's why you did it. 33 today. He is a professional tennis player from Serbia. He's one of the best of all time. Still currently active Grand Slam champion. Yeah.
Okay, it's not Federer.
He won Wimbledon last year.
It's not Federer, it's the other one. Which, right?
There's two other ones.
Okay, well...
Serbian.
Yeah, and it's a Serbian name.
Mm-hmm. John Tucker, y'all have a lot of time.
Give me the initials.
ND.
ND.
Oh, no!
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, skip that one.
No, you don't get skipped. You get it wrong. It's Novak Djokovic.
Ah, I knew it, too. That was the other one. That's.
I thought you were thinking Rafa, Nadal.
Oh, no.
Oh.
No, I was thinking.
I think Nadal's the other one.
I was thinking Djokovic, because people argued really hard.
34 today. 34. He is an NFL player. He's a wide receiver for the Patriots.
Edelman.
Is Julian Edelman.
The only wide receiver for the Patriots.
That's
right
left.
Now.
Yep. All right. Our This Day in History takes place today. On this day in 1843, the first wagon train departed on this trail.
The Oregon Trail.
The Oregon Trail, yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Three out of four for today. All right. Let's do the last three birthdays. These are tomorrow.
Okay.
He will be 21 tomorrow. He is an American internet personality, a beauty YouTuber, and makeup artist.
James Charles.
It's James Charles.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a whole lot of like controversy last year with him?
I think he's in one of, like, My Girlfriend Keeps Me Involved. I believe there's something with him every other day or something like that.
Only going to be 21 tomorrow. Interesting.
He's really rich. It makes me mad.
It makes me mad, too. He'll be 33 tomorrow. This American professional wrestler, currently WWE, he was just recently the Universal Champion. He's also been WWE Champion. He's also known for, now he has his alter ego, The Fiend. He wears the mask.
Bray Wyatt.
It's Bray Wyatt! Boom! Bray Wyatt, big Raiders fan, by the way.
I was watching... Was The Fiend brought out, like, recently?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I think I was watching when that was, like, that was the only
sometimes
thing I had watched.
Sometimes he brings out The Fiend, sometimes it's, like, himself. It's, like, that
it's
kid
like
show host.
Nice, yeah.
With the sweater vest. It's very creepy.
Yeah.
I think it suits him well.
Yeah.
All right, now you have a chance to go 6 out of 7. He'll be 62 tomorrow. American actor, comedian, and game show host.
Drew Carey.
Look at you. Yeah, it's Drew Carey. I cannot believe he will be 62 tomorrow.
That is much older than I would have pegged him.
Former U.S. Marine Drew Carey.
I didn't know he was a Marine.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, he was.
All right.
You should look up how he looked in the Marine Corps.
Was he ripped?
It's like him, but a soldier.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Yeah, Drew Carey, man. One of my favorites. I love Drew Carey.
I remember when he took over for Bob Barker.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big deal.
I love him on Price is Right. I remember watching the Drew Carey show as a kid. They got the great theme song, that cover of Cleveland Rocks. Cleveland Rocks, Cleveland Rocks, Cleveland Rocks. Like the only song written about Cleveland ever.
I didn't know that one.
It's a pretty good one, yeah.
Okay.
Drew Carey. Treasure. National treasure. Let's go over to these phones. Let's end this week with a call from Roger. Roger, what's up, buddy? What you got for us?
Oh, no. How y'all doing tonight?
Hey, buddy, doing good. We got a 4-day weekend ahead of us here, so I'm looking forward to that, man. Feeling good.
Cool. I just want to ask y'all about, I know Sunday is a big day. Sunday is I know Peyton and we're playing golf with Tiger Woods. I just want to ask you about that. I just want to curious what. How y'all see it going, and who y'all think is going to win that golf thing Sunday?
Well, Roger, I think the team of Tiger and Peyton, they have the advantage for the pro. Tiger is better than Phil Mickelson, and as we discussed earlier between me and Tucker, Peyton Manning has been retired since early 2016. Peyton Manning has had plenty of time to to work on his golf game. Tom Brady's still an active football player. Do you think Tom Brady has had all this time to still be working on his golf game? I don't think so. So I think that that team of Tiger and Peyton has the advantage. I'm looking for a big dub out of that duo this weekend.
Oh yeah, I hope they can do it. How you see Tom Brady doing with Peyton? How you see him doing? Think he do good though? Do good though? Okay, with playing with Peyton in golf.
Yeah. Hey, Roger. Thanks for a phone call, buddy. Up against it. And talking about Brady, I mean, I don't think he's going to be bad for an amateur.
No, he'll do all right. Him and as much as people like to think that Tom and Peyton absolutely despise each other, they play golf together.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, Brady plays golf. He'll be fine. I think him and Peyton will be, you know, somewhat okay, like close. But Peyton will be much better.
I'm just so happy the duo was Tiger and Peyton.
Yes,
I would have been so mad if it was the other way around because that's just perfect. It's two of my favorite all time athletes.
Yeah, which I couldn't have lost either. I love Phil too, lefty.
I don't dislike him. It's Tiger Woods.
I'm a lefty. Him, Bubba.
Yeah, but Tiger Woods.
I mean, yeah, it's Tiger. But well, either way,
we will be eating Perkins after Tiger and Peyton spank that ass. Cannot wait for a minute. Good sports weekend on tap for, you know, everything that is available.
Yeah.
Coke 600 Sunday for NASCAR. You got that golf showdown, soccer to watch out there if you're interested.
Good stuff. Korean baseball.
Korean baseball. And Sunday night, 9:30, Coach Duggs goes to the swamp.
Drains it.
Drain that swamp. Coach Duggs, that does it for us this week on Overtime. We will not be back until Wednesday. Neither will the entire station. Taking a four-day weekend for Memorial Day. Everyone, have fun this weekend. Continue to stay safe. We'll see you Wednesday. For Tucker Holt, I'm Taryn Carson. You have been listening to Overtime. We're going to catch you next week.